Coming up on Roundabout, Daimler shows off a new lineup of smart merchandise. Who the hell's going to buy this crap? Nobody's buying the cars. Somebody's selling their trusty old Subaru, but only the most macho buyers need apply. And a hipster's Audi burns to the ground to hilarious effect. Stick around for all that and more on Roundabout. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
In Livonia, Mishigawa, I'm Stephen J. Ewing from Autoblog.
Of Autotropolis fame in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
In Long Beach, California, from autobytel.com, I'm Mishai Naranjo.
In rainy Manhattan, from greencarreports.com and High Gear Media, I'm John Volker.
From the Roundabout Studios and the Autoline family of fine programs, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
Yep, I'm producer Ben Sanders.
Just like last week.
This is Roundabout!
Welcome to Roundabout Episode 77, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
And hello, everyone! So glad you could make it. Thank you for joining us for yet another show. Are you guys excited to be here? Because I am excited.
Woo!
It's like Arsenio Hall all over
yes,
again.
Yes, but better, because it's Roundabout.
I don't know if it could be better.
That is the ever gloomy Stephen Ewing.
Hi, Craig.
I know, you're here.
Did you miss me?
It's been a long 2 weeks, Stephen.
What can I say?
Well, you're back. I understand you were out of town.
I was.
You were in California, right?
No,
San Diego?
Chicago.
Oh.
Close.
That's not what I heard.
Close.
Well, you were in a different time zone. No matter, you're back. That's all that matters.
I was a ways away.
Okay.
I was as far away as I could possibly be.
Well, I don't understand why you would want to be that far away from me. I'm just a charming host of such a charming podcast. But we are back. We've got our cast of regulars joining us, of course. And the theme, very appropriately, at least for the time of recording here, our theme this week is April Foolish.
I think we're just kicking off April. Everyone likes little April Fools. We're giving you...
Never mind that it's totally cliched, but...
April showers bring...
Foolish.
March comes foolish. In like a lion and kicks you in the dick. That's what I understand.
No!
Wow, Craig. Do I have to bleep that?
Yeah, you might.
You've been hanging around with Bowman too long.
Kidding.
So, yes, you might be careful because this episode might cause a laughter epidemic. Found this on Wikipedia at lunchtime. There was apparently a laughter epidemic, yes, in Tanganyika. You can check the article out for yourself. I don't
knew
know.
Her. I knew a Tanganyika in Did Flint.
she worked at the Kroger's, didn't she?
Yeah.
So our special guest this week, we have the one, the only.
Tanganyika. No.
You'll speak when spoken to,
Sorry.
Understand?
Yes.
It is John Volker of High Gear Media as well as greencarreports.com. John, glad you could make it.
Delighted to be here for the first time. That initiation was ugly. I'll tell you what. The bruises haven't faded yet.
It's hazing. It's a brutal hazing process. I know. But we're glad you could make it. We're glad you carved some time out for the old Roundabout.
You'll find that after the show is over, you'll spend about a good solid 30 minutes crying and you won't really be sure why.
True.
The internal bleeding lasts longer than that, though. Be warned. So...
Michelle told me about that, yeah.
Oh, she's spilling all the secrets. Michelle, we're trying to get people to come on the show, not scare them away.
Well, I want to make sure they have good insurance.
Very April Foolish of you. So, all right, guys, our first article we've got here. Everybody knows the smart car. Everybody
hates the smart car.
Well, yes, hates the smart car. You could say that. And the company, they've just released a brand new lineup. They're calling it the Smart Collection. Funny, it's a lowercase s. I'm always confused by that. You know, why?
Because it's not a name. It's a...
adjective?
No, it's when you put letters together. What's that called?
An acronym?
Yes.
For something...
Well, shouldn't it be all uppercase then?
That's what I would think.
Well, it's like something Mercedes Art. Yes, Mercedes Art.
Yeah,
so it's like
with an investor.
So not quite an acronym, but kind of like an acronym and words. They can do whatever they want. They're Mercedes.
Daimler.
And they are. They'll do what they want. Kill two baby seals. Because they've got a whole collection of clothing. Looks like they've got They've got a handbag. They've got sandals, hats, umbrella.
They have a really cute hoodie, and I would totally buy it if it didn't have a smart on it.
I understand. Well,
There's also an AMG lineup, so you might want to check over there, Steven.
Oh, I probably should. You're right.
There's a baby one jumps onesie, I guess you'd call it, and a bib.
But people wearing AMG clothes always beat up people wearing smart clothes is the problem.
That's very true.
Well, think about it. They've got it coming, don't they, John? For driving a smart and wearing the clothing?
I suppose.
It's not a very smart choice.
There's a hot rod performance smart, though, right?
The
EV?
The Brabus smart?
Maybe the Signet.
It's got upgraded 14-inch wheels.
One of the greatest things I've ever seen was before Smart was in the States, the Bosch Corporation, they've got a little promotional test fleet of cars out here in Detroit, and they gave us a Brabus diesel Smart, and it had the littlest snow tires I've ever seen. They were so adorable.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So who is going to buy Smart branded clothing when nobody's buying the frickin' cars? Why? It's like walking around with a Microsoft backpack, which I actually saw somebody at the airport.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I'm wearing a mini shirt. And
People like mini.
But I can't afford a mini.
Did you buy it or did someone give it to you?
It was a gift.
Why didn't you sell it on eBay?
Because
someone's cornered the market on that.
Because your name is not beep.
So, John, would you sport any of this fine apparel here?
No. Whenever I wear logos, I get paid to do it.
Okay.
He's a smart man.
Very clever. So, yeah.
But the thing about smarts is there are people who love them, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, all of them now have bought a smart. Which is a problem.
They have a strong community of about a half dozen, I would estimate. Right?
There's three of them here in Jacksonville that run around like a little gang.
Smarts are like the Nash Metropolitans of 50 years from now. Think about the people who own Nash Metropolitans, right? Today's version of those folks, they're driving smarts.
God help them.
Where's that Michelle?
I know.
Do it on the fly. Come on. She threw up a lot.
Got a new one.
Wow.
Yeah, mark that, Ben.
Smart will let you do
so,
that.
So, yeah, Smart, they're offering the lovely collection of fine custom-branded merchandise that you may purchase from someplace undisclosed, but I'm not going to tell you.
Do they have anything
because
my...
I haven't... What?
Do they have anything my cat could wear, maybe?
That baby jumpsuit.
Or puke in.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Will that fit him?
Well, moving along in happier news, we've got a lovely article, Stephen, from Kijiji.
This is a weird... It's a weird...
What's going on here?
It's a listing for a 1998 Subaru Impreza wagon that's for sale up in Ontario in the great state of Canada.
It's a province.
Whatever. Well, Canada's our 51st state, so...
I thought that was Puerto Rico.
But it's... You know, you look at it and you think it's your typical ad listing for a used Subaru. And then you read the description and it says things like, "My friend, if it was possible for a vehicle to sprout chest hair in a 5 o'clock shadow, this Subaru would look like Tom Selleck. It is just that manly."
So somebody wrote a declaration here of sorts.
It's really long.
Masterpiece.
Yeah, just saying that only the most macho of manly men, and then in parentheses, or women, should...
Is that a good...
should apply.
Michelle, have you tried to put in an inquiry for this?
As a manly woman.
Exactly, the manly woman I am. I do actually know why this listing exists like this. There was an eBay ad in the UK... just before this, about a week before, where the guy listed a wetsuit and managed to sort of say he'd never urinated in the wetsuit, but then went on to compare it to gorillas and all this other stuff. And the ad went viral, and they ended up raising something like in excess of £50,000 for charity just through this guy selling his wetsuit. So I think people are trying to get more and more creative. And mind you, Kijiji is actually eBay. It's the Canadian version of the eBay classified.
Mm-hmm. Ah. So now you know. Well, this thing, that, now, The description goes on to say that the wagon was actually engineered by third-degree ninja pirate super warriors.
Which I believe it.
I believe it, too.
But it's a Subaru. Is that really true?
But have you driven a Subaru?
Yeah, they're kind of rattly. And
am I the only Subaru owner on this chat here?
Owner? What do you own?
I proudly own a 2000 Subaru Outback.
Nice.
That plays nothing but whiny folk guitar music for less than
Can you?
I own some comfortable shoes, John. Can I come over?
Can you only drive it to Whole Foods and back,
or to go hiking?
It's important to understand that when I park it, it's next to a garden full of organic herbs named after angry feminist poets. Protest against the oppression of the patriarchy. Are we clear?
Did you buy it in Vermont by chance?
Boulder.
Boulder, Colorado.
Is the official car of Woodstock, New York.
How's your cat, John?
She is actually out in a consciousness-raising circle with other feline America.
Wow. This thing... Were you guys aware of it? But this thing comes with a 137 horsepower engine and a 5-speed manual transaxle.
It does.
Doesn't get more manly than that.
No.
I can't. What does that convert to in Fergstark?
What?
About the same.
It is.
You know, off the top of my head, I can't think of any vehicles more powerful than that. That is pretty manly.
That is pretty manly. Yeah. You're right. That this isn't clearly the most powerful production vehicle ever
in the show so far.
Mentioned in the show so far. Okay.
But manly in a supportive and empowering way.
Exactly.
Very true. Well, so moving along here, we've got an animal-themed story here. When animals attack, is that a fair way to characterize this, Jeff?
Oh, I didn't know I was doing this one.
Because you're not. Michelle is.
I thought
keeping
I was
you on
doing
your
the Mercedes one.
You,
right,
you are.
It's my name next to the article.
I'm sorry. I screwed up your order again. Michelle, what is going on? You're the animal lover. You donate to the Humane Society. You volunteer your time walking
the
dogs.
She owns a farm.
Absolutely.
An urban farm. It's a new trend.
She has an urban farm. Mm-hmm. Yet she doesn't own a Subaru.
She owns Kias. I'm beginning to question the legitimacy of her environmental claims. I really am.
She owns a Kia and a Z3.
I don't know.
But I never drive them.
So what happened to this poor John Gold, 59, and his Vauxhall Astra?
Well, that's part of the problem is he owned a Vauxhall Astra.
Hall's Astra.
Yeah.
Is that related to the Astro?
No.
It
Mr.
is,
Mr. Gold...
Actually.
Is it?
He's got motors.
Oh.
True.
He can spell. So Mr. Gold lives in the UK, and he, I guess Mrs. Gold, had been throwing out bird food by his Vauxhall Astra, and the squirrels decided to carry all the nuts and embed them underneath the hood of the car, and to the point that it caused 5,000 pounds in damage. And there were hundreds of nuts, and the filters were all blocked. And it's not the first time he's had rodent problems. So you'd think he would have learned the first time.
5,000 pounds of damage, nearly $10,000. I find that a little hard to believe.
Have you ever had a squirrel ravage your car?
But if it's just cramming everything with nuts.
I've had a squirrel ravage me.
Oh!
God.
You just learned something new about Michelle.
You know what Jeff says when he sees a squirrel?
What's that?
Get off my lawn!
No. I usually just say, shoot it.
Shoot it.
Shoot
I thought
it.
He'd we'll say, make... how you feeling, girl?
He says that sometimes. It all depends.
We'll make how you feel, break. Girl?
With the music. It's the music, Ben. I'm telling you. It's creepy. So 5,000 pounds worth of damage. That's heavy-duty damage.
That's heavy-duty damage.
It's a lot of damage.
Squirrels can do that stuff. I had a friend who had a family of squirrels move into the car that he had left in a garage in a house that got snowed in over the winter.
Wow.
And he got the car started and it overheated within about, I don't know, 5 miles because literally the entire engine compartment was stuffed with squirrel debris, sticks, leaves, whatever they make their the stuff out of. They had eaten through a lot of the hoses. They had chewed on the wiring. It was a mess.
God. You know, it's bad enough. They damage stuff by chewing through it, and then they build a beaver dam under the hood, setting insult to injury. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's true.
It's a pretty nutty reason for a car not to run, you know?
I'm not laughing at that.
Ooh.
Neither am I. Neither
am I. Kind of squirrely, I think.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Sorry. That's sorry.
I know. It's bad. So, Jefferson.
That was the laugh track for that one.
The creepy "I want to go, I want to die" laugh track, Ben.
That's the one.
So, Jeff, in a less environmentally friendly note, our German friends are highlighting.
Mercedes-Benz is definitely known for expensive, powerful, luxurious vehicles, but at 800,000 euros and putting out 958 pound-feet of torque, they have this ultimate off-roading slash camping vehicle.
Sweet.
That it's monstrous.
It's six-wheel drive, isn't it?
Six-wheel drive, yep. And you can put your ATV inside of it. The thing
you could,
is just
you
massive.
Put a space shuttle inside.
I thought you were going to say RV. I was like, holy.
you probably could put a small, like, Sprinter RV inside of it. But, yeah, this thing is huge.
It's built off the Mercedes Cetros truck, I guess. We've got the article on Autobild Allrad, which is the off-road version of the German magazine Autobild.
Craigie, why don't you read us the caption to the photos? I know you don't understand everything it says, but I love when you read German to us.
Manchmal ist eine schöne Campingschaukel auf Fiat Ducato basis einfach nicht genug. Dann muss der Hauben LKW, what is that? It means commercial vehicle, I think. Landkraftwagen, I believe. Mercedes Cetros mit 6x6 Antrieb ran zwei entsprechende Aufträge im Umfang von je etwa 800.000 Euro.
I would nearly drive this to Sarah Palin's house
in the mountains
and give her a piece of my mind.
Would you?
I bet you. Zach Bowman would appreciate a visit too with this.
Oh, absolutely, he would.
Visit Bowman first. Load it with explosives from his property, and then park it in Sarah Palin's house.
It does come with a gun cabinet.
Ooh, I didn't know they could have guns in
this. Here. This of this caliber should
get it caliber
calibra.
No, so, I wasn't talking about the Dodge this time.
So, John, as the environmental enthusiast, you like Mother Nature, I understand.
I love Mother Nature.
Are you approving of this?
I simply look upon it with sadness and send karmic good thoughts each way so that its inhabitants mend their ways.
But it's got a 7.2-liter inline six-cylinder with 326
Yeah.
I wonder if you could put a smart car inside of where the ATV goes.
You could put a pack of smart cars in there if you wanted.
More than likely.
Or what is a group of smart cars? Is it a pack? Is it a pod? Is it a parliament? What do you call a group of these things? Yes. Smart?
What is the worst group you could think of?
Parliament.
A map.
Can we just call it a murder like crows?
What? Is that where crows come in?
Yeah. A murder of smart cars.
A murder of smart cars.
Well, there you go. Sorry. I'm sidetracking the conversation here. But this thing's pretty freaking sweet. You could climb mountains with it. You could drive up the Matterhorn in Switzerland and then camp there if you wanted. What's more America? This should really be in America. This is like an American-sized vehicle.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, it holds 500 gallons of fuel and also 250 liters of water.
It's 8.5 feet wide. I'm not sure what that is in metric. Who gives it?
This is the Canyonero.
Canyonero.
Okay, someone got it. That's good.
So, yeah, if you want more information on this Mercedes Cetros truck camper combo, hit our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can find the link in the show notes. Again, we thank our friends at Autobild over in Germany for this fine piece of journalism. So, on a much smaller note, John, you've got a nice article here about Think. Not familiar.
You have to like an electric car called Think, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds so brainy. And you have to respect a Norwegian company that's been sort of hammering away at this market for more than 10 years through a couple of bankruptcies and several owners. But here's the problem. Would any of you pay $41,000, which is the price of a Chevrolet Volt, for a two-seat plastic electric car built in Indiana out of parts from Finland, originally housed in Norway, designed by European Ford engineers partly.
You had me at plastic.
You'd have to be an April Fool to do that. Am I right?
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
The short answer, John, is no. No, I would not.
That's what we call a leading question. So, Think has actually set up this plant in Elkhart, Indiana, which proudly calls itself the RV capital of the world.
It's Little Detroit, I thought, for campers.
Camper, RV, recreational vehicles.
Caravans. So,
them too, yes. if you must. But you go and tour this, and they have lots and lots of colorful, little, cute, bug-eyed sinks there. And actually manufacturing them. And then you get to, so how many did you sell? And the first email didn't get returned, and the phone call didn't. But you find out that while Chevy is selling hundreds of Volts a month, and they're still stocking the dealers, and Nissan, which has had a little bit of a supply disruption over there, is still selling at least three figures of Nissan Leafs. So Think is selling like 24 one month and 27 the next month. It's a little tough to pitch for that price, for the price of a Volt, which is a very nice car. I actually spent almost a week with one recently. And
how do they have the audacity to charge $41,000 for a golf cart?
Well, it's a real vehicle. It passes crash tests. It's not a golf cart. It's just primitive. It's
that's being polite.
But primitive is polite. But it does actually run. It does what it says. It's just only got two seats. It's kind of like an electric smart car, right? At least that one's made by Daimler, which is a halfway legitimate company.
It's not made of plastic.
Well, Luke in the chat says it looks like it's made out of Cozy Coupe plastic, the little tykes, yellow and red.
It kind of looks like a Cozy Coupe, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. To be fair, it has an aluminum upper body structure. You know, it's actually metal underneath there, but it's got these sort of polycarbonate panels in bright blue, bright red, or sort of grim Terminator black. And they say that yellow is coming soon.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
So you stand out even more.
Yes.
Look at me!
They're fine. You know, they're perfectly good cars. Right now, they're being bought largely by things like the Indiana State Parks Department, incentives, et cetera. My take on the whole thing is I think they're going to have a real tough time. And it hasn't been helped by the fact that two news stories came out yesterday. One of them saying that it was going to stay in the 40s, and another one saying, oh, no, it's going to be $34,000. So when they can't even get their pricing information straight, unless you have reporters reporting the wrong thing, I am not incredibly
well, even at $34,000, no.
No,
thank you.
No.
Selling that against a Volt, I'm sorry. No competition. None.
And there you have it.
There you go. The more you know, Ben. I think we just leveled up.
Did we level up?
Yes,
I think
did.
We leveled up in the middle of the story because I accidentally hit the sound effect.
Level us up properly. So that story makes me pretty angry, but our next one makes me laugh.
Angry? Angry.
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 You got it, Michelle.
Angry.
Steven, what have we got here? Is this from Autoblog? I can't tell.
Autoblog, Nick.
I don't know if you've heard, but the Autoblog AOL family acquired Jalopnik.
And then closed it.
And we have renamed the site Autoblognik, where you can find more of the quality content that the Autoblog AOL family publishes, but in a more Jalopnik style.
What does that entail?
The redesign.
I love their piece on Borg Warner and the changes to the cafeteria menu.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That's the kind of quality journalism that we look for. It's almost good enough to run in a daily newspaper.
The story, we found this on Jalopnik. And what Jalopnik is sort of making fun of here is that there is a 21-year-old guy in Santa Rosa whose Audi A4 sedan just apparently, quote, poofed into flames. And in the photo that they have of him, he's standing outside of his, you know, his burnt Audi. And he's on his phone with his thick-rimmed, black-framed glasses.
As we look at Steven wearing the same thing.
He's wearing his black-framed glasses, and he's got his
iPhone brimmed, 4.
His brimmed hat on. And he's got his iPhone 4 in his hand, and he's basically got this look of like, oh, my God. And Jalopnik offered
up. I didn't want sprinkles on my donut.
I told you I don't like sprinkles.
A few ideas.
Well, he's got a phone in one hand and looks like another phone in the other hand.
Or like an iPod or something like that. Something.
But I think the cap like that is his version of your hoodie. So
sort of, yes.
It's his trademark. It's his signature that he wears.
Mm-hmm. But so this poor little hipster guy, His cute little Audi just poofed into flames.
Audi burning to the ground. Sad. His reaction, his face.
Hilarious.
Priceless.
Very, very
so
funny.
Where can the people
I know
see
you're
it?
Wondering this, but Henrietta is not allowed to go out with boys that are 21.
Oh.
But she's almost 18. She'll do what she wants.
Well, it wasn't her fault.
Yeah, but this guy looks like he could totally be her type.
He's totally macking on Henry.
Henry?
Oh, but his car caught on fire.
Dang.
Pick her up.
He's in Santa Rosa, Michelle. That's got to be near the Long Beach.
No, that's the Bay Area.
Whatever.
Or the Kia for the night.
All right. So, Steven, where can people see this guy's reaction, this photo?
They can find this on Jalopnik.
No, on roundaboutshow.com in our show notes. That's where.
Show.com in our show notes.
Caught him some slack, man. He hasn't been here for
Jalopnik.
2 weeks.
Like the brand.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. Back to Autobild, going back to Europe. They've done a nice little article here, a photo spread of sorts, to commemorate the April Fools. It happens every year. And what they've done is basically a mashup of two different vehicles. So they've got a variety of photos. The first one that
Who
pops
found
up.
This, by the way?
Our good friend, Mirko Reinhardt.
Our good fan, Mirko
Reinhardt. That, too. He posted this on the Roundabout Facebook page. I clicked on it at lunchtime. I said, this is awesome. It's a bunch of very well-done Photoshops. Did a great job. The first photo that pops up, we've got the front end of a Fiat Cinquecento with the back half of a Mini Cooper. Looks pretty crafty. There are 26 images in this particular gallery, so you can just click through there. There are a variety of different cars. They've grafted a Ford Edge back end onto a Volkswagen Tiguan. Masterfully done. Very
These are
clever.
Pretty good.
What would you call that car, a Tigwedge?
Tig wedge.
I sort of like the Audi A6 or I'm sorry the A1 front end on the 1 Series Coupe.
Yes,
that's nice.
Yes, it is done in white. Or the Focus RS 500 hatchback mashed up with a 6 Series convertible.
Oh no, this one's hot. It's the Subaru STI with the 3 Series wagon rear end.
What about the Audi A1 top with the Ram truck bottom? That's a bit of a mismatch.
That's horrible.
Yeah, that's sort of horrifying.
Oh.
What else? Again, 26 images in the gallery to click through. All kinds of crafty stuff here. Let's find a good one. A BMW body with a mashup of an Audi and an X6. That's pretty hideous because of the X6.
Is the X6 a mashup all by itself?
It should have been. So, yeah,
I was going to make a joke about the Nissan Juke, but that was too easy.
Don't make fun of the special kid, Jeff. All right?
God, that's awful.
So you got that. Check out our website, roundaboutshow.com. Click through the autobuild.de.
And if
you
would like,
very clever.
If you would like to share something like with
too.
Us. Like,
how can they do that, Ben?
Well, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/roundaboutshow.
Facebook page.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Well, Jeff.
Speaking of Jeff, someone in Montana has been pretty April Foolish. It sounds like.
Well, it's just not one person. Apparently,
it's the whole state.
Yes, drinking and driving. Well, anti-drinking and driving laws are not very popular in Montana, and one legislator is trying to get it to go away. Unfortunately, he's also a bar owner, so it kind of makes it look a little one-sided. Yeah.
Special interest.
But it's not just him. Like, I've read other articles. This article is from MT Cowgirl.
Is that one of your blog rolls you frequent, Jeff?
Yes, I have an RSS feast.
Motor Trend Cowgirl?
I think so. But Alan Hale.
Jeff, Cowgirl blogs alone now.
Yes. He was just saying that taverns and bars connect people together. So if you're trying to chase people away by not letting them drink and drive, you know, that takes away from the way of life that people enjoy out there. And then I was reading something else about the state. Only until 2005 has it been illegal to drink and drive. Like, you were legally allowed to drink and drive.
Oh, my God, really?
As long as you weren't intoxicated.
What?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
So, like, you can have an open container?
Yeah, if you were drinking a bottle of beer right now and you weren't drunk.
Which I am.
You're not. Then you'd be fine.
Open container laws are kind of weird to me. Because what if you've got an open beer in the cup holder, but you haven't been drinking anything.
It's still open and in your car.
Well, exactly. Why do you get in trouble for that?
It's an open in your box.
But it's very easy for you to drink it.
Yes, but if you get pulled over and you haven't.
I've never understood why the people who are riding with me can't be drinking as long as I'm not. Mm-hmm. When I'm
exactly.
Or what if, you know, if I'm driving, but what if someone is just putting the shot glass up to my mouth while I'm driving?
What if you stop short and some alcohol sloshed into your mouth?
At least had the
That's dangerous.
Okay, here we go. I pull over to the side of the road, right. Turn the car off,
right.
Then drink some whiskey, turn the car back on. So technically I wasn't drinking while driving because the car was off.
Then it's just drunk driving.
Oh.
It's the being intoxicated part, son.
What are the laws in New York, Manhattan? I understand nobody actually drives there.
Whatever it is,
the subway, but
you can't do it. Is that clear?
So just so I understand.
And if you can, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
All right.
Next question.
Just so I'm clear, you're not permitted to drink intoxicating liquors and then drive.
Permitted to be intoxicated while driving.
Okay. Agree to disagree then.
Well, why don't you try, Craig? We're heading there in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's right. They got an auto show or something.
Let's grab a BMW 7 Series from a trailer and just go drinking and driving.
We'll get Craig all liquored up and send him through Manhattan in a 7.
You don't need to get me liquored up. I've got a hidden stash of corn liquor.
We'll give Craig 2 Zimas and he'll be gone.
Why you gotta go with Zima? Who the hell drinks Zima?
I had half a Mike's Hard Lemonade, and then I fell down the stairs.
Is that what I sound like, too?
Yeah. Because it's more like, I had half a Mike's Hard Lemonade, and then I couldn't find my purse.
Craig, we just realized Craig's the Audi guy.
If Craig dressed like Steven and bought an Audi, that would be him.
Yep. Right. There's an April Fool's mashup.
There you go.
Hey, a mashup.
So there's a video to go along with this, Montana Senator. It's a quick one. Can you cue that up, Ben?
You want me to actually play audio on this?
Well, if you think it's necessary.
I don't think it's necessary, but let's comment on this guy's attire. I mean, he just really fits the bill, if you know what I mean. Mm. Although he kind of looks like he should be from Alabama or
Alabama. No.
He sort of got the Colonel Sanders style.
Sort of. No, he's wearing the frickin' tie, Ben.
Okay,
he's absolutely the Colonel. Don't dance around it.
Here he is. Look
it's at like that. Steven in 30 years.
Basically.
He's elected to state senate.
I don't know. It's just like it's the perfect guy to be saying, I don't understand why we can't. It's a lifestyle. You're going to break up families here.
Michelle, what's your take on his attire here?
I like it when it's on Ben.
Did he win that bow at a state fair?
Colonel Slanders.
Bushrod Pepperdine. Well, that's a story for another day.
Definitely.
Yeah, moving along. April Fools. Tesla is getting sued by Top Gear. What the hell? What the hell?
And this is not actually an April Fool. This is true. So how many people here saw the Top Gear, quote, road test of the Tesla Roadster, their episode a couple years ago?
Oh, of course.
Saw it.
Where the car died, right?
Right. So what it appears a lot of people don't realize is that although Top Gear started out as actual journalism a long time ago, kind of like Consumer Reports with British accents, it mutated, and it is now what it is, the British version. All that stuff is pre-scripted. Before they even got a Tesla Roadster to drive, they had decided they were going to be pushing it back into their hangar, leading, you know, to confusion amongst the faithful and a lot of people who didn't know a damn thing about Teslas. So Tesla has decided that they are going to sue Top Gear, not for $1 billion or pounds, but in fact for about the cost of a single car, because basically they want to make their point that it was misleading. One of our on staff folks who has a legal background, we don't want to identify him so that people don't come after him. Actually,
is it
wrote,
Joel Fetter?
Under no circumstances. You guys have met our colleague?
Oh yeah, we've had him on the show a couple times.
His voice doing the little tidbit.
Again, Ben, I don't think you heard
it. We can torture him with this. Anyway, so the lawsuit is going on. The hearings haven't started yet. There are two bodies of thought. The body of thought amongst the true EV fanboys says Tesla was wrong. Top Gear must be dragged through the mud and made to admit that it was wrong. Clarkson must grovel. The other body of thought says Tesla, being opportunistic, is doing this simply to keep themselves in the media. They don't have a case, but they want to make sure that the word Tesla stays in the headlines.
Yeah.
You be the judge.
Or get back in the headlines, because they haven't been for a little bit since Elon got a divorce.
Yeah, that's right.
Elon Muskie. So what do you think, John? What's going to happen here? Are they being April foolish, or why?
I'm a journalist. I can argue both sides.
Ooh. Unbiased. Steven.
Fair and unbiased, no less.
Fair and balanced.
Unbiased. And balanced.
Now, the last time Elon and I sat down over a beer was a while ago now. So I don't really know what's in their mind. I really could argue either side. I think it will keep them in the headlines, but I think there's some chance of blowback. You know, if all of a sudden Tesla is perceived as whiny because all of the Clarkson fanboys, of whom there seem to be some inordinate number, like that show has 360 million people globally watching it or some insane statistic.
Well, it is entertaining, to be fair.
True. I think there are just some parts of the audience who don't necessarily understand that most of it is made up, pre-scripted, untrue, loose with the facts, and otherwise designed to entertain instead of inform.
Mm-hmm.
Right. These are the people that, you know, they'll watch a segment on Top Gear of Jeremy Clarkson reviewing a car, mm-hmm. and they think that that's absolutely the way the car is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, actually, I've had Tesla owners tell me, they'll be at shows and people will go, oh, wow, that's a Tesla. That's really cool. But wait, it only goes 30 miles because it died on Top Gear, right?
Bad so, things, yeah.
Good.
Slander almost.
Just but not quite.
Or libel. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? I completely didn't buy a Tesla Roadster based on Top Gear. They're right. I mean.
There you are. I know you were lined up. Cash in hand.
Exactly.
Because she's an environmental lady. That cup is made out of recycled stuff.
That farm
cups
and
or something. Recycled cups.
It's like the peanuts that, you know, the shipping peanuts. Mm. When I wash it, it just disappears down the drain.
Like my hopes and dreams.
Right.
So
like my single sock.
So that is the news portion of the show. Great work, everyone. We got to take a quick break here, but coming up, we will dive headfirst into our blind spot story of the week, taking a look at a very unusual way to recycle engine oil. We'll also take a peek in the garage to find out what everyone's been driving, plus we'll show our respect to an automotive legend that recently passed away. So all that and more coming up right after this. And now, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor and our good friends at Advance Auto Parts.
Buy stuff now!
I couldn't have said it any better myself, Eric. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, and click on the link. It's in the right-hand sidebar. That'll take you to the Advanced Auto Parts web store, storefront, where you can buy just about anything you need for a vehicle, from wiper blades, oil filters, wheel bearings, whatever. They've got it. And we've got a very special exclusive offer that is available only through us, that we are encouraging you to take advantage of, because it is a very good deal.
Right, and of course, last week we told you this very exclusive offer was about to end. And it was scheduled to end.
But they've extended it.
They've extended it. It's been so popular.
Yes, it is.
They've extended it. Some of you have already taken advantage of it, which we appreciate. But now you've got more time.
Yes.
Come back for seconds.
Absolutely. Our good fan Bill Prosperi ordered some stuff from there.
That's
but
right.
But he did find out, full disclosure, the following deal is not applicable to motor oil, so just be warned.
That's apparently the only thing.
The only item on the excluded list. So basically what the offer is, you get $10 off, $10 off an order of $30 or more, $20 off an order of $50 or more, or you can save $30 if you spend more than $100 at Advanced Auto Parts. So pretty damn good deal right there. You know, you can get a lot.
That's a bargain.
Plus...
I'm marking that for a future sound drop. Thank you.
That's a bargain. That's a bargain.
And as always, free shipping on orders of $75 or more. Another great service. You can have the stuff delivered to your house, or you can pick it up in store at your local Advance.
Which is always free, no matter what the amount is.
Yeah. Hmm. So great deal from our friends at Advance Auto Parts. And I've got to reiterate, the only way to get this special deal, the 10 off 30, 20 off 50, 30 off 100, is to go to our website and hit the link. You have to hit the link on roundaboutshow.com to make this count. So just be aware of that. If you go to their website without doing that, you will not be able to take advantage of the special offer. And a great offer it is.
And I would add to that, even if you're not planning to buy something, show them that you appreciate their support of Roundabout. Just click on that link.
I'm going there right now.
Take a look. See what you think. Roundaboutshow.com.
Yes, take a look, see.
Have a look there.
Poke around, you know, all kinds of great stuff. Replacing parts, aftermarket, you name it. They've got it. Friendly folks at Advance are more than willing to help. So we thank them for their support of Roundabout. It is wonderful. And with that, it's time for our Blind Spot Story of the Week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got an amazing eco-earth-friendly story that is coming to us courtesy of gizmag.com. That is a hard G, Michelle. Gizmag.
Right.
We won't even go there.
I can't say the name.
Just don't even try. So, okay.
Thank you.
Engines use oil as a lubricant. Everybody knows it, or at least you should know that if you're listening to an auto-themed podcast. That obviously, you have to change the oil. That generates a lot of waste lubricant. Bad things happen if that gets in the water. Fish and birds don't like it. You know, there's an issue last summer, a few months down in the Gulf. It wasn't pretty.
I hadn't heard of that.
You hadn't?
No.
Okay. Well, apparently there was a bit of a leak or something. I'm not certain, but
I don't something
happened down there.
I don't recall it. I'm sorry.
But the used motor oil can be recycled. You can burn it to heat your house. There are ways to turn it into fuel. But... the University of Cambridge researchers there have found a way to recycle used engine oil and get more fuel out of it than you normally would. So basically what it boils down to is they're heating the oil.
Boils.
Yes. They are heating the oil in a microwave is essentially what they're doing. And that through a process called pyrolysis, I guess fractally distills
Aren't microwaves also dangerous?
Only if you stand near them.
Or get in them.
Yes.
Or put them on your head.
We have one at the office here that is at genital level on the counter. And I stay around the corner when I'm heating things. So, yes. Basically, there's been a way to do this, heating the oil. In the absence of oxygen with a microwave, it breaks it down into gases, liquids, and solids. Basically, what they're doing, they found a way to get more bang for your buck. They put some sort of microwave absorbing substance in the oil, which sort of hyperactivates it, gets you a better return on your microwave investment.
Oily investment.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Now, John, you are the environmentalist among us. You do write for greencarreports.com, I understand.
And he owns a Subaru.
He probably owns sandals as well to go with his Subaru. What is your...
No, Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks. Have you heard of this process before?
I had not. I will say that actually when I change my own oil, it all goes down to my friend Arthur, who has a small garage and actually heats the garage. You can get used oil heaters for garages. They burn amazingly clean. And about three quarters of the energy he would have spent on a garage heater just comes from all the used oil. And people actually bring him their used oil to dispose of. You know, I can see this being a good thing, getting more energy content out of it. Liquid fuels are a great way to store energy. It's not incredibly relevant to me at this moment, but it sounds like great research.
Because the article goes on to say there are more than 8 billion gallons of used oil generated in the U.S. per year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of oil, Ben.
It sure is, Craig.
So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to drain the oil out of my car, put it in a Tupperware dish into the microwave, and then put that directly into the gas tank.
How could – nothing could go wrong there.
Nothing.
Come on.
I'm already there. Hold on a second.
See, what I typically do with my oil is dump it in Great Lakes.
Sound effect.
So, yeah, again, this is at gizmag.com. You can hit the link in the show notes, roundaboutshow.com. For more details, check the article out for yourself. Moving along, Ben – it's time for In the Garage.
Is that that ends our segment?
We're done.
Oh. Well, that concludes another episode of
Noob Chat with Michelle Joey Naranjo.
That's an oldie but a goodie.
She knows a thing about K-Y.
Oh, God.
In the Garage.
We're not even going to address that one,
In the
Craig.
Garage.
It's time for In the Garage.
Ooh, big block. Ford right there. A very April Foolish thing.
Is that the sound of the car you've been driving?
Not quite, Stephen, but I'm glad you asked because I had about a very brief amount of seat time. When I say brief, I mean about 20 minutes in the Chevy Cruze Eco. So there you go.
Did you get 42 miles per gallon?
No.
Oh.
Basically took it around the block. We had to do some video. We shot an instant impression. And we had
it's
to
not really in the
camera.
Garage then. It's more like
on the road.
In your parking lot spot.
Well,
I walked past it.
Did you have the speed manual?
It was a manual. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Very nice car. Very, very, very quiet. I was impressed by that.
Mm.
Yep. Steven's nodding in contempt.
Would you say it was Lexus quiet?
Yes, I would. Perhaps quieter. Well, is that the blurb that got quoted in the commercial from Mr. Neff?
No, from Mr. Bowman.
Was it Bowman?
Yeah. It was Mr.
Bowman.
Wow.
Who called the Cruze Lexus quiet.
That son of a bitch. He's just going – he's just spreading everywhere. He's like – well, he's like egg salad at a family reunion, Ben.
getting
everywhere.
Face.
Yeah. So, yeah, Cruze Eco, very quiet. I was very impressed by it. Solid little car. In fact, it's so quiet at idle, we were stopped waiting for the train to go by, actually – that we have near the office, and couldn't even hear the engine running.
Yeah,
I had to look to Ben. Is this thing on?
Nice.
That's about the extent of my test drive. One thing I didn't like was the way when I was operating the clutch, the top of my shoe would scrape on something under the dashboard. I don't know if any of you guys that have driven it have noticed that, but that was kind of irritating.
I haven't been in this one yet.
All the Cruzes I've driven are automatics.
Did you mar your Brogues?
I don't know.
Did you make that face like,
like your Audi just
like
down.
That, yeah.
My hush puppies got stuffed.
I know, Michelle, for the record, I don't wear hush puppies. I wear Velcro, all right?
It's so much easier in the morning, guys. Stop bragging on me.
On the heels of your sneaker.
My
sneaker.
Feet hold.
And he's got the rollies.
Yeah. Oh, I hate
but
this.
In a much more proper vehicle, Stephen.
Luxurious.
Luxurious. Was it Lexus Quiet, what you've been driving?
Yes, but I say luxurious, but the more I've been driving this, the more I'm starting to notice some things. We at Autoblog are doing a one-year test on a Hyundai Equus Ultimate. And I've had it in my possession for about a month now. I've put a little over 1,300 miles on it since I got it. And starting to notice a couple of little things about the Equus experience that are not
what
you'd expect.
The door panel fell off again.
No, the door panel did not fall off.
I'm just making
things up. You know, Hyundai wants this to be a true competitor to a Lexus LS460. And after I've driven it on a couple long trips, the seats are pretty uncomfortable for long periods of time.
I understand there's piping on them with barbed wire.
Yes, there's barbed wire. That was an option.
For the Ultimate.
No, it's just the
seats. The discomfort package.
What was that, John?
That's the SM trim package?
Yes, yes.
That includes razor wire on the headrest, by the way.
The seat bottoms are just a little flat. There's no adjustable side bolstering at all. And I just took it on a trip to Chicago and back, which is why I wasn't here. And both myself and my passenger were complaining about our back and legs hurting after the long trip.
My feet hurt.
Exactly.
That, but
other than that, though, it's a perfectly nice car. I mean, it just eats up the miles on the highway. It's so smooth.
It's like a fat kid at a pizza buffet.
It is. It is. It's really smooth. It's really quiet. Good sound system. The infotainment function is a little last gen in terms of its design and a little bit of its operation too. But so far,
speaking
with the Equus, so good.
Speaking of infotainment, did it come with the iPad manual?
It did not come with the iPad.
Oh, suck.
The only thing Ben's concerned about.
How could you possibly tolerate having a last generation iPad in that car? I don't understand it.
That's why they didn't
include
one.
You know, that's a good point.
This is because, you know, they said, hey, we're going to give you the iPad 2. And I said, if it's not an iPad 2, you really probably shouldn't bother.
Well, it's an all or nothing proposition. Who wants that old crap?
Exactly. So
the bloom is off the Equus Rose, you'd say?
Drive it off a cliff. Good God.
Light it on fire.
What we are hoping to do, though, is we've got a couple of people on staff who have iPads. So when the Hyundai does need to go in for its first service, we are going to download the app for the iPad and do it that way, like the owners will be able to.
When you take it in for service, are they going to replace the seats with more comfortable ones?
No, and the thing about it is we won't actually take it in for service. As part of the Equus ownership experience, when you schedule service, the dealer comes to your home or office, picks up your car, and leaves you with an Equus or a Genesis until your car is done, and then they swap them out again. So you never go to the dealer.
How about that?
But guess what? Now, if you own an Equus and you lose your job, they're not going to buy it back from you.
Nope, you can't take it back.
Not even for store credit.
You know, they only had 11 claims.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
probably brilliant marketing concept. Yeah. Now, what's his name? The job at GM, probably.
Iwanek?
Joel, yeah.
But, so, good car or great car?
Good car or great car? So far, it's a good car. Good. Like I said, we've only got 1,400 miles on it now. We're going to circulate it around the country. We've got it until May or sorry,
past that hooker
March
around.
of 2012. So we're hoping to get about 20,000-30,000 miles on it before
it's a true
long
term test. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, very good, Mr. Ewing. Mr. Ross, you're in something considerably more exciting than that, an order of magnitude or two.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but it is Lexus Quiet.
Did you see the 250?
Oh
in
yeah,
there?
I misread that.
Yeah. It's the Lexus IS250 F Sport.
For F and Sport? Or
no, when they pulled up in my driveway, I thought it was the ISF. And I was like, yes, it's going to be an awesome week. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't look like an F. And it's just an F Sport. It's even in small letters. It says Sport under the F.
You go with classic.
Like smart.
So it's, yeah. So it's the base engine and with the sporty exterior package.
You can get a six-speed manual with the 2.5-liter V6. Is yours an automatic or a manual?
This was an auto.
Oh.
I want to find
poser
out.
Car.
Yes, big time poser car. It was a nice car. Like, it had microfiber seats, and everything was there to be sporty. It just didn't have the – even the IS350 might have been better for this package. Mm-hmm. But it even had like the blue color that's now become famous with the ISF, the ultrasonic like blue mica.
Yeah.
And it looked like the ISF. So you'd pull up somewhere and then, you know, it would get looks, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's such a homely car.
I don't think so.
I like it.
I think the IS is a good looking car.
You would.
I always have.
John, you like the IS? You're the split vote here.
To be honest, the only one I drove was the convertible, which was suboptimal.
Yeah.
I'm terribly sorry. All right.
Well, you can't vote then, sorry, based on that. So I guess I'll have to give Michelle some suffrage here. What's your take? What do you vote, Michelle? Yay or nay?
You know how I feel about Lexus.
It's democracy in action, Michelle.
I'm going to say Jeff was cheated out of a good thing.
All right. Fair enough.
There we go.
I'll go with that.
Here, here.
That's something we can all agree on.
Lexus IS 250 F Sport.
He got F'd.
You could say that, Ben. So next up.
I'm feeling that from you.
Yeah. Next up is Roundabout Rear View.
When I go a motoring in my old jalopy, I think of all our picnics.
Can't help but laugh.
Those Joe show us sloppy. But more than anything,
I love this sound
clip. I can't forget you. See? Here's another edition of Roundabout Rear View.
Round of applause for Ben again on that one. That was beautiful.
This is Roundabout Rear View, which is a misty-eyed look at things from the past. And unfortunately, we have something that is in the past now. And Stephen, you had the pleasure of working with a very famous gentleman who had a lot to do with your career, where you're at today.
With a lot of us.
Well, yes. He was really a founding member of automotive journalism.
Yeah, it's true. We're talking about the one only David E. Davis Jr., who most people recognize from his decades at Car and Driver. He founded Automobile Magazine. He's had a hand at Motor Trend. He's done some things with Road and Track. I had the privilege of working with him for a long time at Winding Road when I was there for 4 years. I first met him when I was 11 years old when my mom worked for him at Automobile Magazine. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, David passed away this week at 80 years old as a result of some complications from a bladder surgery he was undergoing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad. David was one of the most interesting, unique people I've ever met in that, you know, he was a great writer. He had this way of really telling a story when he wrote, especially in his columns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are the things that this sort of experience wouldn't just come through in his writing. He would walk by my desk and just these little things that he would say sounded like something that I would spend 3 hours to compose, and they would just naturally roll off his tongue. You know, he was a complete gem to work for. He was a tough boss, but he was always, you know, really good at making sure we learned about the business as we went through it. And, you know, without him opening a door and, you know, helping me through the process of, you know, entry-level positions at Winding Road, I wouldn't be where I am now.
And, the Autoblog.
Yeah, at the Autoblog. And David's a great guy. He was a very funny, very smart, very stately gentleman.
I subscribe to Car and Driver, and they recently brought him back
for
the monthly column. Yes. And he always has this very proper, I don't know if it's tweed or something, jacket on in the photo at the top of the header.
Scarf and a hat. Yeah.
David always looked very regal whenever he would walk into the office in the morning with his, you know, wonderfully shaped facial hair and his elegant
I remember the
attire.
First time I saw him on, and I did not know the history behind him because I wasn't really a car guy, but first time I saw him interviewed on Autoline Detroit at the time, this was a few years ago, and it was just like this mane of hair. I was just like left in awe.
Yeah.
You've got the newsroom hair, Ben. Let's be honest.
I know.
But
I was jealous.
David E. will be missed, and you know, it's a big loss in the industry just because so many people have met him and worked with him over the years, and he's one of the pioneers of this business, and we're sad to see him go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. But he's had an impact on a lot of people's lives and, of course, the industry as well.
Of course.
I hope. Raise a glass to David E. and
Godspeed,
may
David
he rest
E.
in peace, right? Hopefully there are cars in heaven.
I'm sure there are. And he's got some. He's got
no smart cars, though.
No, I will say it was hilarious that diesel smart that I was talking about earlier in the program.
Pre-show.
Watching David leave the office and get into it, and it was the convertible. He put the roof back, and just the top of his hat stuck out of the roof of the car while he was driving away in the
dinky golf cart.
It was hilarious just to watch him, like, pour himself in to the smart car.
He was an older gentleman. He probably didn't get around too well, so he kind of getting in the car.
You'd be surprised.
What, David, was he spry?
Yeah, you know, David was interesting in that working with him at Winding Road, one of my duties every morning was to go around and assign who was driving what home each night. Mm-hmm. And I'd walk into his office, and he would pick the weirdest cars that we had in the fleet. I remember he specifically fell madly in love with a bright yellow base Chevy Aveo sedan. He drove it home one night and
fell
asked
in love.
If he could have it for the rest of the week. Seriously.
That is the most dreadful car that has been produced in the last decade.
Adored.
Not as bad as a smart car.
Excluding
the smart.
David, though, he would find the really charming things about really terrible cars and kind of hold on to those. And it was always refreshing because I would go out into the parking lot looking at that Aveo and just want to stab myself.
It was the sunglass holder on the headliner, wasn't it?
He was an interesting guy, and you know, I'll never forget him ever. Yeah. He's taught me a lot, and he's had a big impact on my life, and as he has on a lot of others. Mm-hmm. So, rest in peace, David E.
What'll he be driving in the great beyond?
Probably. Whatever he damn well pleases. Exactly. If you are interested, though, his son, Matt Davis, who's a big name in our industry now, wrote a small piece for us at the Autoblog reflecting on his dad and the impact he had on the industry. So go ahead and check that out if you so desire.
All right. Well, thank you for that little story, Stephen. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. And just take a moment to honor one of the greats.
Oh, yeah.
In our business. So, moving right along, we're going to do a new segment here. We're calling it Hold On, Hold On, Keep It to Yourself. Again, that's Hold On, Hold On, Keep It to Yourself. Obviously, a spinoff of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I'm so glad that we worked NPR. Match game music into the show.
I'm glad you recognized it.
I love match game.
I don't think Craig's ever. Do you know what match game is?
No. Dumb Dora is so dumb.
Oh, my God. I have that sound effect. Not you.
All right. So basically what we're going to have you do, since, John, you are our guest of honor for this program.
Okay.
Our panelists here are each going to read you one news article. Your job is to pick the real article out of that trio. All right? And no cheating on the Google, any of you. No cheating.
And none of our panelists know which one is real either.
They better not have cheated either.
Better not have.
No cheating.
Yeah, shall. Jeff.
What are you insinuating?
She cheated.
I did not. I barely just read mine. Are you kidding?
All right. Well, there you go. Well, Jeff, you're number one on the list here. So why don't you read us your article. What's going on here in this news story?
Well, this story comes courtesy of Gizmag.
See how careful he is, Michelle? He's very
I hate that one.
He enunciated. Sorry.
Researchers at the Clemson University in South Carolina have come up with a way of turning a leftover substance called MBM, short for meat bone meal, into a biodegradable plastic. You see, there's a big surplus of powdery brown byproduct that's made of dried, crushed animal bits. It used to be fed to cattle as a dietary supplement, and it is still used in cat food in Europe. But in the mid-1990s, MBM and other cuts of organ meat were found to spread mad cow disease, so these practices were banned. At least the cattle barons stopped using it. Scientists have found another place for this stuff, and this time not in Watson's food bowl. Plastics made using it consume less petroleum, which is good for the environment. That would also help cut down about 9 billion pounds of this stuff that gets dumped every year.
Every year.
Every year.
So, panelists and John, our first article deals with a waste leftover animal product. All right. Okay. Next up.
Familiar with those.
Yep. Next up is Joey. you've got our next news article.
Yes, sir. From the the AP reports, a Las Vegas woman named Tracy Pollard is in hot water for allegedly endangering her one-year-old daughter. According to police, she constructed a holster out of strips cut from a clear plastic tarp and support ribs from an umbrella so the infant could ride in the open glove compartment of her Mitsubishi Galant. Understandably, this is not a NHTSA-approved way to transport a baby, even if she was covered in bubble wrap. To make matters worse, police discovered Pollard's rickety contraption when a security officer reported seeing the baby locked in the car at a Save More pharmacy. Pollard is being held on charges of child endangerment, and bail is set at $50,000.
U.S. dollars. This isn't Canadian. So, yes, child endangerment to go along with bone meal product.
But I would say a very ingenious
question here.
Yes.
Michelle, did you say the baby was wrapped in bubble wrap?
That's what my news feed says.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And last but not least, Stephen,
they do that with preemies to keep them warm.
Do they?
They do.
Only in California.
No, Henry was born in Wales and they wrapped her in.
In a whale?
Examining this story closer, I would say it's unclear if the baby was actually wrapped in bubble wrap. I think they're saying even if she had been.
Hypothetically.
That's my guess.
All right.
Copy editing isn't what it used to be.
Exactly. So,
Stephen, you have the third and final article for this segment. Why don't you give us a listen here? What's going on?
All right. Well, according to the Times of India, Tata is developing a new type of fuel injection system in partnership with researchers at Jawaharlal Nehru Technological University. It's still in the early prototype stages, but the company claims it can boost the efficiency of a small car by 15 to 25%. Called multi-ejection, it allows a diesel engine to run on gasoline, ethanol, diesel fuel, or any combination of the three, a cocktail one engineer says they've nicknamed Athesaline. Engines that burn this kind of mixed fuel have attributes of both diesel and gas power plants. They have very high compression ratios and throttle plates to control airflow. The heart of multi-ejection is a series of direct fuel injectors, four per combustion chamber, as well as in-cylinder pressure sensors. Through advanced computer software, each injector is precisely controlled, adjusting the mixture, burn time, and other attributes of the combustion cycle. This allows them to run efficiently on mixed fuel while minimizing emissions. The technology is still in its very early prototype stage, and Tata hasn't quite said when we could see it come to market.
All right. So the third article, John, we've got a new fuel injection system in India.
Athesaline.
And that too. So let's recap these options once more. Our first article, we've got a story from Gizmag dealing with, what is it called again? Meat bone meal. And using
also known as MBM.
Thank you, Jeff. You are an authority on the subject, which they use in a special biodegradable form of plastic. The second one is from the AP in Las Vegas, a woman endangering her child, putting it in the glove compartment of her Galant.
Although an ingenious use of recycling.
It wasn't just the glove compartment.
If they fit, it's like those the U.S. postage boxes. If it fits, it ships, right?
Oh, gosh.
And the third article, Times of India reporting Tata is working on fuel injection system, a new fuel injection system. So which one of these articles do you think is fake, John, and why? Walk us through your thought process a little bit here.
The first one is fairly plausible from the research I've done into MBM. There's a lot of kind of leftover animal product here in New York, and so – you get familiar with it. And that one sounds plausible.
Who knew?
You learn a lot living here.
Yeah, but you've also lived in the UK, so you know about mad cow disease, and that's where that comes from.
Why do you say that? the second one, I think, is the false one because – Mitsubishi Galant is wrong. It should be a really banged up Pontiac Grand Am.
He's got an excellent point there
with the busted off side view mirror.
With one of the plastic side strips torn off. And the third one, I'm a little perplexed about the different oiling characteristics of the fuel, because you can't put gasoline in a diesel car. It screws it up pretty badly very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Daimler and some other people are doing some really remarkable stuff with HCCI and other advanced combustion techniques, so I'm willing to give that one a plausible maybe.
Well, basically, it's the real one you've boiled down for you is either the MBM.
I think the second and the third one are fake, and the first one is real.
All right. You've cast your vote. Let's go to Jefferson Ross here.
I will have to say the one from the AP is real.
Okay, so the Las Vegas woman, Tracy Pollard. All right, so we got a vote there. So let me just – well, we'll keep track of them. Michelle, which one is real? Which are the fake ones?
I'm only as good as the man that I'm with, so I'm going to vote with John.
Okay. So we've got two votes for the MBM, one vote for the AP Las Vegas. Stephen.
I'm also going to have to go with the MBM.
Okay. Now, what is your thought process, Stephen?
As soon as John pointed out about the Grand Am versus the Gallant, that's what sealed the deal for
really?
Me.
Really?
Right.
That All was right. it.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, Jeff, why did you pick Las Vegas?
Just because it's from the AP. Okay. I know nothing about MBM, child abuse,
so
or...
You're trading on reputation here. A Sterling news outlet, basically.
Yep.
Okay.
That's who I always go to on my phone. I read the AP about 19 times a day.
It's a great source. Not going to lie. All right, Ben. So who is the winner here? Which is the fake? Which are the fake articles? Which is the real one?
So the answer is...
Winning.
John picked the correct article. The MBM technology is the real story.
I think he should level up for that one.
He does get a level up.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. I'd like to thank the Academy and my agent and my wonderful family and, of course, God.
So the other two articles involving child endangerment and Jawaharlal Nehru Technological University were the
still
made.
Can't pronounce it.
Neither, no
Which
one
is
can.
Fine because it's
So I'm afraid
no,
that means university. That means Jeff... No, not that.
Oh.
No, that's not what Jeff gets. Jeff gets...
You suckers got served.
All right. Great job, guys. And that is the conclusion of our first ever edition of Hold On, Hold On. Keep it to yourself. I think that was a resounding success.
Yes.
It's a definite maybe that we'll do it again.
Yay!
Yep.
So,
great job, everyone. That concludes this week's installment of Roundabout. John, you have survived. Congratulations.
Like I said, you're going to cry for about a half hour. You're not going to know why.
Tears of joy.
John, this is when you take the Vicodin.
It's the opposite of a Band-Aid.
I was supposed
An
to
un-aid?
No, the whole thing hurts.
Michelle, I always take the Vicodin before the show.
Yeah.
Oh, that might be the problem.
I always take it before the show.
Before the show. And that's not coffee in that mug either.
That's whiskey. Needless to say, he won't be driving home.
It's Steven's helper.
And we don't condone drinking and driving or medicating before our shows.
Right. Craig demanded the keys for the Equus.
All right. Jefferson Ross, Autotropolis, Jacksonville, Florida.
Yep.
We're ever so pleased you could join us.
Thank you.
Yes. Can we count on your services again in the future?
In 7 days, you may.
No.
What?
No.
Oh, that's right.
No.
He'll be back eventually. No, actually, we're off next week.
We are off next week. Important programming note.
Oh, so it'll be a while, because after that's the New York Auto Show. And,
We're doing Friday, though, after.
Yeah, we're going to do...
We'll work something out.
Just
Friday, April 8th, there will not be a live roundabout. There will not be a roundabout because we've got so much stuff going on that week. We're just not going to be able to do it. So we invite you to please tune in again in 2 weeks. We will be back. That is a promise of sorts.
Of sorts.
Barring anything, barring, you know, whatever. Stephen Ewing.
I forgot the J.
Does it need to be J?
It does.
Stephen Ewing?
No.
J. Ewing. Autoblog.com.
That's me.
That crucible of all things automotive.
Yeah.
You take these raw stories from the internet or elsewhere, you throw them into the furnace, you melt them down, you condense them into their truest, most pure facts, and you disperse those for a general audience.
And you get
dead hookers.
That's right, Stephen.
All of the cars I've had lately have come with at least two dead hookers in the trunk.
So that Mercury Grand Marquis full of garbage that the woman was
Yeah,
in.
Soon we'll be introducing our long-term Ford Crown Victoria. So stay tuned for that.
All right. It's awesome. So is that all you have to say? Are you done plugging?
Yeah, that's right. It. I go see me on Autoblog.
Awesome.
I guess.
Do it. The real Autoblog.
Or whatever.
On Twitter.
Not the
Autoblog Nikola.
The real Autoblog.
Well, we won't get into that. Michelle Arapaho.
Naranjo.
Yeah, whatever it is. From Autovitel now, right?
Yep.
You're just moving around, jumping through the forest of the
internet. No, same company. It's just that it's the same people sending me my paychecks.
It's a formality, right?
Yeah.
All right. What are you working on? Miss Motor Mouth.
Getting ready for New York Auto Show. I went to the Prius Records event yesterday and watched them set all sorts of crazy records, like the most number of mullet wigs that could be put on and taken off in a Prius in a minute, and they broke 206 world records.
Was this done by that company where everybody can set a world record? Yeah. What's it called?
Yeah.
Do you know?
It's called it's called Universal. Now I have to go look. See, you asked. So it's called Universal UMRD, I think.
Well, anyway.
But basically, you can send in a video. Anybody can send in a video and prove that they
did
set
something.
This record. I spun most times around in an office chair or whatever, and you officially get that record.
Yeah, and it was really fun. I was very impressed. They did it for over 2 days, 20 hours, 10 hours each day, and it was just high production, multiple camera, just constantly going, and they streamed it live, and it was actually really kind of addictive and funny to watch.
Okay.
And I got to see – pardon?
You have your mullet wig there?
They had team members that were improv actors. They were setting
the improv actors.
But they had a plug-in in white, which apparently is the only prototype plug-in in white, which was kind. It was really actually kind of cute looking.
Mm-hmm.
Did I just say that?
Michelle Naranjo, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
John Volker, our good friend from Manhattan Island. Purchased from the Native Americans for $24 in beads, I understand, right?
Correct.
Something
we're looking forward to welcoming everybody to the New York Auto Show. Pay lots of money for your hotel rooms, buy lots of overpriced drinks, and then please leave.
That is a warm New York welcome if I've ever heard one.
Absolutely. So welcome to New York. Get out of my damn way.
Precisely.
So John Volker, High Gear Media, as well as GreenCarReports.com.
Right, and occasionally the Car Connection as well.
Okay, so to explain High Gear Media briefly, it's a big collection of automotive sites, isn't it?
High Gear Media has several dozen sites, the best known of which are probably the Car Connection, Motor Authority. I work pretty much in our green site group, which is Green Car Reports, All Cars Electric. We have an coming up site called All Car Tech, but we're a collection of auto-themed sites, and we have a lot of reviews, buying information, a lot of the usual stuff.
Cool, good stuff.
The company hasn't been around that long. We've been around about 3 years. Car Connection's been around way longer than that.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Andy gets to work with the fantastic Mr. Marty Padgett.
And Joel
Absolutely.
Fetter.
Absolutely. Editorial director, Grand Poobah.
The man,
my boss.
The man in charge. Well, great. John, thank you for joining us. Thanks for taking time out of your day to spend some time in the roundabout. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Glad
did
you
it hurt? It.
It's fine. I'll be all right.
And last but not least, I have to thank Benjamin, the Colonel Flanders, for getting the technical side of things done here, as well as editing the show so that all of you that download this as an MP3 can enjoy it, and it's a high-quality piece. Ben, thank you, as always, for your efforts. We do appreciate them.
Ben!
You're welcome. Thank you, Ben!
All right.
Ben!
And okay. Remember, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, about 3:30 on the West Coast. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, our weekly television show, Autoline After Hours, our weekly bull session every Thursday night, and, of course, Autoline Daily, which is out 5 days a week. And will somebody please leave us a message on our Google Voice number? Please, please, please. You can get in touch with us at 1-559-ROAB-411. That is 1-559-762-2411. We love hearing from you. Tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what we're doing wrong. Whatever you want.
Just tell us.
Just tell us. Exactly. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow, and Facebook, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Give us a like. We do appreciate it.
Like me.
Absolutely. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't, you can subscribe to Roundabout on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace if you so desire. And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
Mm. I love it.
There we go.
Record time. There we go. It's so funny to hear a sound effect from Jeff and be watching Jeff on video and his mouth isn't moving.
I love it.
I love it. Michelle, you shouldn't smoke.
Moshe-shay. Oh my God, you're smoking inside.
I know. I've got all the windows open.
You killed Jeff.
You just had a stroke, Michelle. I hope you're happy.
Oh, my God.
Jeff has died.
Jeff, I'm sorry.
Son of a bitch.
Mary died of tobacco.
I'm like the secretary here, John.
Something's monster.
She's our den mother.
She's everything.
Wow.
And more.
Don't stroke her ego more than necessary.
She made the cougar noise.
All right, ready?
Yeah. Oh, my.
So we've got a lovely
that's
video.
The
wait, can you guys go switch clothes really quickly?
What's that, Michelle?
Can
or
you
do
and
it
Steven?
On camera.
No, I don't want to see that.
What's your question?
Moving along, Michelle.
Ben, get the chocolate sauce.
Michelle, I don't look good in peach.
No one looks good in peach, Steven.
Orange is your favorite color, you say, Michelle. This is pretty
it
darn
is.
Similar.
That's not orange.
Jeff's got orange.
What is this
on.
Color?
That's that looks gold-ish.
Like depression.
That looks like no, cream. It's creamsicle.
Orange sherbet.
I love creamsicle.
Are you marking all of this, Ben?
And John just hung up on us. Thanks, Jeff.
No, I'm still here.